World Sport from the BBC with me, Richie Stevens. Hello. France survive a scare to qualify automatically for next year's Euro football finals. There's news from the latest round of World Cup qualifiers in South America. And in tennis, there's confusion over the future of former British world heavyweight champion boxer David Hay. But we start with football. The second round of South America's Marathon World Cup qualifying campaign is underway. The top four teams will automatically secure their places for Brazil in 2014, with a fifth place side playing off against opponents from Asia. One game is about to finish, another is starting. Our South American football expert Tim Vickery has the latest.
Well, two local derbies just kicking off, Chile against Peru in Santiago and Paraguay against Uruguay in Asunción. After that, closing the round, there's an intriguing match in Puerto La Cruz, where Venezuela host Argentina, believing that they can pull off a historical upset. But the round's underway with a heroic victory, Colombia, who just won 2-1 away to Bolivia at the extreme altitude of La Paz. The Colombian counter-attack always looked dangerous, and Pavon gave them the lead early in the second half. Bolivia turned on the pressure, and with 6 minutes left, a rocket shot from Flores levelled the scores. Bolivia looked the side more likely to claim 3 points, but Colombia broke away once more, and with the last kick of the game, Falcao García swept home the winner. It's not only the first away win of the campaign, it's the first time the away side have avoided defeat.
Thanks very much indeed, Tim. Now, the South African Football Association has officially filed a protest to the Confederation of African Football over the qualifying system for the African Cup of Nations. Bafana Bafana are unhappy that CAF rules qualified Niger from Group G because of their better head-to-head record, despite South Africa topping the group on goal difference. CAF regulations elevate head-to-head records above goal difference, and these were taken into account. After three teams, Niger, South Africa and Sierra Leone, finished Group G with 9 points. Now, there's been another twist in the battle to take over the Olympic Stadium in London after the 2012 Games. The Championship football club West Ham United won the right to take over the stadium's ownership last February, but the Olympic Park Legacy Company has now called off negotiations because of delays caused by a legal challenge from Tottenham Hotspur. The stadium will now be kept in public ownership and leased out for over $3 million a year, but West Ham are still keen to move. The BBC's Olympic correspondent, Gordon Farker, has been following the story.
In a sense, this is a kind of neat solution to the difficulties that were compounding upon one another over the legal challenges that were coming thick and fast. There was this revelation this morning that it was an anonymous complaint to the European Commission that really was the straw that broke the camel's back. The suggestion that somehow there could be a complaint pursued through the European court somehow, this complaint over a state subsidy effectively for private business, which might have got stuck for a couple of years and really held everything back to the point where so much uncertainty would have been very damaging. And what they've managed to engineer out of this essentially is to keep the stadium in the public domain, so the public retains use of it. It guarantees that the running track will be there, and it guarantees the warm-up track will be there, and that's important because that means that those guarantees are absolutely copper-bottomed to the International Athletics Federation when they come to make their decision over who should host the 2017 World Championships. London can say absolutely categorically we'll have a running track here, and it means that they've basically short-circuited all these legal challenges by saying, chuck the old one in the bin, let's start again from scratch.
Tennis, and the world number four Andy Murray says he's happy with levels of prize money in tennis and that players are lucky to earn what they do. Murray's comments came in stark contrast to those from Andy Roddick on Monday. The American claimed players were not receiving enough, especially those lower in the rankings, when compared to other sports. Both men are playing at the Shanghai Masters, and the BBC's tennis correspondent Jonathan Overend is there.
Well, Andy Roddick, the former world number one, yesterday presented his argument in his usual measured, articulate way. In golf and basketball, he said players receive a much greater percentage of tournament revenue in prize money. Now, he knows how lucky they are, and he wasn't being big-headed about it, just dipping his increasingly political toes into a thorny issue which he believes deserves wider debate. But it seems Roddick doesn't have total support. At a time when players are talking more than ever about issues off the court, Andy Murray today reiterated his concerns over the tennis schedule, rather than money matters.
I think going into earnings is silly because we make a lot of money and we're very lucky to be earning the money we do. I'm happy with the direction tennis is going. I think every year they're increasing the prize money and all of the tournaments are trying to kind of keep up and compete with each other. So I think it's in a good place.
Now, the future of the former world heavyweight boxing champion David Hay is in some doubt. The British Boxing Board of Control's General Secretary, Robert Smith, has told the BBC they've received confirmation that Hay won't renew his boxing licence after he lost his version of the world title to Vladimir Klitschko last July. But Bernd Buter, who promotes both Klitschko brothers, says he's in talks with Hay's trainer, Adam Booth, and remains optimistic a deal can be reached for the Briton to fight Vladimir's older brother, Vitaly. More from correspondent Mike Costello.
The British Boxing Board of Control confirmed David Hay via email from his manager Adam Booth had decided not to renew his boxing licence. Licences are reissued on an annual basis depending on fitness and other factors, and Hay's was due for renewal in December. He seemed to be sticking to his promise to retire by the time of his 31st birthday, which falls on Thursday, putting an end to speculation that he might take on Vitaly Klitschko. But it's since emerged that that fight could still happen. Vitaly's manager, Bernd Buter, has told the BBC that talks between the two sides are ongoing.
It was always true. I always knew from Adam Booth, David's manager, that he will retire, officially retire on his 31st birthday. But the door for a Klitschko fight is a possibility and would bring him back to the ring, and that is still an option. When the fight would happen, then it's spring next year, meaning end of February, beginning of March. That is what we have as a date for Vitaly's next fight anyway.
Bernd Buter ending that report by Mike Costello. Now, as promised, more football. Five more teams have qualified for the European Championship in Poland and Ukraine in 2012. Greece, Sweden, Russia, Denmark and France will all be in the finals next year. Paul Hawkins has the details.
We'll start in Group A, where Germany finished with a perfect record in qualification, and Mesut Özil scoring one goal and setting up another as the Germans beat Belgium 3-1 to eliminate the visitors from a playoff spot that went to Turkey as they beat Azerbaijan 1-0. In Group B, Russia secured their place in the finals with a 6-0 demolition of Andorra in their final match to finish top of the table. The Republic of Ireland finished in second place and booked their place in the playoffs after a harsh red card for one of the visiting players and an own goal helped the Irish to beat Armenia 2-1. Antonio Cassano scored twice as Italy defeated Northern Ireland 3-0 to end their qualifying campaign unbeaten. Elsewhere in Group C, Slovenia beat Serbia 1-0, sending Estonia into the playoffs. In Group D, Sweden rallied to beat the pool winners Netherlands 3-2. The result ended a run of 17 straight World Cup and Euro qualifier wins for the Dutch. Sweden go through as the best runner-up in the qualifying groups. France fought back for a 1-1 draw with Bosnia-Herzegovina. The former champions had to rely on a second-half penalty from Samir Nasri to get them the point they needed after Edin Dzeko had given the visitors as the lead in the first half. Bosnia have the consolation of finishing second and can still qualify through the playoffs. 2004 winners Greece won Group F with two late goals to give them a 2-1 win over Georgia. Croatia beat Latvia 2-0 to secure at least a spot in next month's playoffs. Denmark's 2-1 victory over Portugal ensured they finished top of Group H, with the Portuguese claiming second place and the playoff spot. Finally, in Group I, David Silva scored twice and David Villa hit his 50th international goal as the defending champions and World Cup holders Spain wrecked Scotland's hopes of qualifying with a 3-1 victory. The Scots would have clinched a playoff place had they won in Alicante, but second spot went instead to the Czech Republic, who triumphed 4-1 in Lithuania.
And that was Paul Hawkins with that roundup. It's been announced that golf's oldest major championship, the Open, will return to the historic St Andrews Old Course in Scotland in 2015. St Andrews has staged the event 28 times. And in cycling, Britain's World Road Race champion Mark Cavendish has completed his much-anticipated move to Team Sky, and he'll ride for them next year. Just a reminder, France have qualified for the Euro 2012 finals next year in Poland and Ukraine. That's your latest sport.